This is March 17th, and the next meeting will be on April 21st, 1991, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, then, my friends, good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to clarify and perhaps expand for you some of the reasons why at the last gathering we mentioned that we would not be doing private sessions. Since that announcement, we have had various of you ask to be the exception to the rule, and many of you with very good reasons. And I would like to state frankly and clearly those reasons are very, very valid. I in no way want to say anything about that. But on the other hand, we have to make up our minds when we're going to stop, because life being what it is, seeming disasters seem to keep recurring over and over yet again. So we need perhaps to go into it more deeply to give you a framework as to why the decision was made and what usefulness that decision will be for you. The basic thing we need to say to you again and yet again is God is never abandoned, and you never abandon God, and there is no sense of God abandoning you. There is no such word in God talk as abandonment. And some of you have stated, I feel that I'm being abandoned. And that sense that you might be feeling is precisely the reason why we are stopping. It is precisely that sense that there is something outside of yourselves that you need to have come into your life in a special way, saying special words that you do not know within yourself, to teach you something or to guide you to something that you do not know. The whole thrust of this teaching all these years has been precisely, we hoped, the opposite, which is that within the framework of your vast consciousness, you have the tools and the ability and the awareness to find out anything about your personal life, your life as you are experiencing it here on this planet. Your planetary life, my friends, is not a closed book. You know, it's not something that you have to kind of read in Braille. You know, it's very, very clearly readable if you will just simply pay attention to all of the years that we have been sharing and realize that those techniques and the statements that we have made were made precisely for this upcoming event. So that when this moves into the next weeks and months and some years, not too many years, until we're done, then you have to get the grasp of the motion of the teaching, which is you are the primary knower of your life. You are the one who knows what to do, when to do it, in what degree to do it. You know all of the things that in the past have been placed in the hands of a few wise ones. If you remember, we stated this whole action between us was going to be talked about in the terms of a brother coming. It could equally have been a sister, but it sounded kind of strange to say, I come as a sister and a brother. You know, that's very long on the title of the book, you see. But in truth, the words are exchangeable. Now, many of you say, then why didn't you pick sister? And the reason is very simple. That selection was made on behalf of Mary Margaret, on behalf of the necessity for the best balance within her. And so if you can just understand that, please, and let it go. It was not meant to be in any way a statement of a sexual preference or a sexual superiority of one grouping over the other. Absolutely not. But in scanning over the necessities, it was very obvious that it was important that it come in this way for her because of her own inner development, and I don't think you will hold that against her in any way. So, that being said, we move to trying to remember, please, the basic awareness of consciousness, which is that as you begin to stand up and claim, I know, even if you don't know if you know, you know, but the statement that I know, it begins to bring a thought form close to you. Now, let's talk again. There's nothing new we're going to say today. Just two reminders. All right, your idea of yourself is this tiny, tiny little person, and you're crammed into this tiny little body, and you're seated in the middle of this incredibly vast universe. Now, that view of life is terrifying. And if that happens to be your view, I don't doubt that you are terrified, and it's with good reason. And so instead of trying to do anything to get yourself worry about it, what I would suggest is that we use this time and the remaining months we have together to begin to move out of that idea. If you look carefully at the teachings, you will see from the very first, the idea was expand. Expand. Those are the words we use constantly. Expand into other parts of your awareness. Expand into your deep self. Expand past your limited concepts, your limited ideas of who you are and what you are and what you can do and what you cannot do. Keep expanding ever more. And all of the exercises, every one of the exercises, has that as its primary goal, to get you to stop identifying, with your neurotic tendency to identify simply with your little tiny self again and again and again, moving through every event of your life. Now, back to the basics again. Remember what you are. You are a cluster. The you, the little you, the you that you identify with, if you will, the ego you, is a cluster. Remember? It's a cluster of beliefs that are stuck together because like attracts like. You have one belief about yourself. It's going to attract, out of all the other possible beliefs, you're going to attract the one that's like the one you just had. And then the world says, this is who you are. You say, yes, I told you so. You see? She says, that's what I am. That's what I am, and so on. Forgetting that it was that initial belief that arose in your awareness that caused all of this to come to you in the first place. But you see, you tend to forget that and just play it out in the material world. So the beliefs arise in your consciousness, and then as magnets, so come all of like ideas. Now, that is a wondrous statement. When you think about it only in terms of limited consciousness, then it can be difficult. But if you begin to understand what is afoot, the magic of what is really happening through the system, then you'll begin to get excited about the possibility. Because this is the way it works. Let us say that you wake up one morning and you say, I am sick to death of seeing myself as unloving, ugly, limited, poor, crippled, put upon, abandoned. You could sing the orchestra for me here. And the wonderful thing is you're all going to sing the same orchestra when you're down in that part of yourself that is full of self-pity. Now, when you begin to wake up and say, this morning, a resolve comes to me that I want to do something different. I want to wake up tomorrow morning in a different kind of a consciousness about myself. Then you could say you begin the search. Whatever else you want to talk, that moment, wherever you began it, began your search to the explosion of your consciousness. It was standing up in the middle of your mess and saying, enough of this. I don't have to do it this way, and I won't do it this way. And then you put out what we call the call of the soul that says, help me out of this. Remember, long ago, how many years ago was it? 13 years. The first statement, one of the very first statements made is, help me. I'm in a mess. I don't know how to get out of this. Help me. Now, that was a long time ago. And I am very hopeful that many of you seated in this auditorium who have been so wondrous as to come month after month no longer have that concept. Would you raise your hand if you are one of those that no longer has the concept of yourself as that limited, tiny person? Please. All right. Somebody said, why are you in this? Meaning Bartholomew. And that's why. Because we knew from the moment we began this work that motion of your awareness could be splintered open and something absolutely exciting could come born out of it. And that's precisely why this all began, and this is precisely why we don't have to keep doing this for eternities. Aren't there other things you'd like to do on your Sundays? There must be a vast array of wondrous things that you could do other than being gentle and loving enough to be present. Now, the other side of that, my friends, is because you do care to come, and because your awarenesses are breaking open. This is how we knew when to stop. The awarenesses are starting to break open. It's almost as if shells of consciousness are breaking open and a new kind of emotion is coming out. Not an emotion, a motion is coming out and moving in ever-expanding power. And that is when we know that this work that we've done between ourselves has taken on sufficient velocity that it's going to move on its own without having to monthly be recharged anyway at all. The moment that is true, it will be the last moment of our sharing. The moment that we sit here together and it is obvious from looking at you that that moment is reached, it will be the last one. And you will know it is because that moment of quantum leap, however you want to talk about it, has come to resolution, has become real. And why? Because of you. Because of you. Because of your caring month after month after year to come and allow the energy to move into that tight stricture of your consciousness and break it open so that you can experience something vaster about yourself. And I say thank you. Because not only is it majestically wonderful for you here, but every time that we do this, the energy that is created moves out and then begins to softly, and sometimes not so softly, inundate other areas of consciousness, other people who are trying to awaken, who have perhaps not yet had the awareness that says, I want something new, because you generate an energy field that moves out across this planet and finds its way wherever it's necessary. So you come here. Some of you have already know all of this. Why do you come? I think it's because you come because you have that sense of knowing that that which you do not do for yourself. You do it for the greater good, for the vaster wonder of things. You come, if I could put it this way, to be a particle of consciousness that lights up and then allows radiation to go out in its most positive sense and to filter through other consciousness on this planet. It is a worthy way to spend one day a month. If not on your own behalf, my friends, then on behalf of so many of your brothers and sisters who are waiting for some kind of an energy. Now, I do not mean that you will go to them and says, now you please sit down, because I am the light and I know the answer, and if you would just sit quietly, I will tell you the answer. I will preach to you. I will give you these books to read. I will give you these tapes. I will cram them down your throat and you will listen. No. So then how is this magic? How does it work? Well, it works two ways. One, obviously, as you leave this place, many of you come in feeling one way, and I know you leave feeling another way. What is the difference? You know the difference. It is that when two or more are gathered with a single point of excitement and wonder, wonders happen. So in the moment of creating for yourselves through all this wonderful knowing, that energy itself moves out into and across the planet doing what it needs to do. That's one action. But there's another action which has very much to do with you yourself. As you yourself become more and more excited about your beauty, your wonder, your wisdom, your capability, your rambunctiousness of consciousness, your being able to choose this instead of that, all of that, when you get excited, without you saying a word, and probably better if you don't say a word often, you will begin to find people around you being attracted to you. They will begin to come to you in some way, asking funny little questions. Well, how come you have that funny idea? Well, that's a very funny idea. You create your own reality? That's a very strange idea. You know, all of this that begins to move. And when you begin to realize that you are the carrier of this just as well as any vast system is, then you begin to realize that every moment of your life matters. Those of you, for example, who are raising young children, I cannot tell you how helpful this will be to the oncoming generations. Not just this action. All of you who have worked with this for years know this is not the point of view. This is the action. This is one of many magnificent actions on this planet. And all of them, no matter how different they may seem, if their basic motion is love in the heart and freedom of consciousness, then all's well. And so all over this planet, in many, many places unknown and known to you, this kind of awareness is coming to life. And so as you realize that you, just as you are, instead of doing something that is selfish and against the world, because after all, you know, it does look on the outside sometimes, well, you're going to leave for a weekend and go and sit and meditate and get rid of your nonsense. Yes, but what about the children? And what about the food? And what about the car? What about the carpool? And you say, it will all be there when I come back. I feel sure we'll be there when I come back. If not, good for me. I had a great weekend. That wonderful excitement that takes you out of the realm of this is a selfish motion into the place that says, this is the very best thing that I can do in any way for this planet. The quiet knowing within that that is the job. And as you do it quietly without fanfare, you begin to affect those around you, who in turn come and ask the appropriate questions and the appropriate openings take place. All right, but back to the cluster, because that's where we need to be very clear. So, on one level, you identify yourself as a cluster of limited beliefs. You are all of the things that you think you are, and lo and behold, you are. Do you have a body? Do you doubt it? Do you have emotions? Do you have fear and anger and rage and passion and jealousy and envy? And do you doubt it? Do you ever wake up in the morning and say, no, I really doubt that I have a body and I doubt that I have all those emotions. I doubt it. What you do doubt with regularity is that you are something else than that. You doubt that I am expanded, creative, dynamic consciousness moving through my world, creating what I want and removing the energy from the things that I do not want. Do you say that? You're beginning to say that. And as you begin to say that, you're beginning to move out of that limited identity that has so clustered around you, and now you're expanding into a different view of yourself. Now, I will tell you frankly, one view of seeing all of this, the entire thing, is that you're going to keep moving, hopefully, in fact, I don't see how you can avoid it, from greater to greater and greater expressions or beliefs of who you are. For example, on the level of consciousness that this energy that you call Bartholomew has its grounding, believe me, the excitement of being there is realizing there are ever more identities to move through. Ever more expanding, exciting motions. This is not a place you reach and stop and sit down where then you have the view of heaven with the harps and so on. I'm sure you've looked at that model and thought it seems a trifle boring compared with the dynamic of my present life. You see, no matter how bad, it's dynamic. Now, the idea here is very simple. There is no level of consciousness that you will ever reach where there is not yet again a more magnificent, expanding, exciting, creative dynamic to move into. This is, remember, the deep self is ever expanding. It's ever creative. What it does best is to create and to create and to create. Then what is the difference between this level of creation and that which we're talking about, the one perhaps that this energy has its grounding in? The difference is that there is a very deep knowing in most of the other levels of consciousness. Once you get past this, you know, one way of talking about, please understand, is that you're rather stuck in the bottle, and then there's a cork. And then when you can get through this cork, the next opening is a big one. Do you understand? When you stop identifying with your physical body, in the physical body, and not waiting till you die, coming to that awareness in the physical body, you will have popped one of the greatest corks in consciousness, which is the idea that you, because you are in a body and experience everything through the body, that somehow you are that body. And all of this work has been again and again to bring you to the understanding that that is not so. That yes, you are in a body and you participate fully and abundantly and I hope robustly in that experience, but at the same time, by a simple turn on the dial, you move out of that view of limited self into another view. All right, now, many of you meditate, many of you pray, many of you do all that kind of thing. Now, what good is that? What you are doing is building. Remember, we talked about the building blocks of consciousness a long time ago. You are creating a building blocks of consciousness, this which is going to be your next home. Your body is your home. This earth plane is your home. Here you are. When you begin to pray, or when you begin to get excited about who you might be, when you begin to claim the visionary within you and the magnificent knower within you, when you begin to claim that which you call your God self, that which is the knower, that which is the expanded, as you begin to dwell on these things, when you read them or when you think about them or when you gnaw them on them day and night or whatever it is, what you are doing, my friends, is building a wondrous, wondrous conglomerate of consciousness, and it's going to be your next home. Now, you choose every day of your life what your next home is going to be. And I promise you, if you allow yourself to go into all of the negative aspects, there's no problem with that. You will just create them and then you'll live in them. And that's not a lot of fun, but it's not a sin. And there's nothing basically wrong with it, except it doesn't feel as good as this expansion. So as you realize that every moment of your life, you are in some very basic way creating the next view that you are going to identify with. Do you get it? The next view that you're going to identify with, then you realize that every moment counts. And every time you find yourself slipping, you wait, all right, so I'm going through this now, and it's hard, and it's this, and it's that. Yes, but what's all this, get thee behind me, Satan? This is very clear. Those ideas of self that are limited, small, painful, narrow, they can be removed. And when you begin to build a whole other place in which to live, then your consciousness builds it for you. And you find yourself identifying more and more and more with another consciousness, another collection of consciousness. Do you understand? You are responsible for that creation every moment. Whatever you say, whatever you think. It isn't so much what you say. Because oftentimes when you talk, you aren't really creating. You know, many of you talk without even knowing what you're saying. Excuse me, but you awake and say, did I say that? Oh, but I didn't mean that. This is, you know, you're not paying attention so much because you're paying attention to what the other person is looking like. Are they smiling? Are they frowning? Am I good? Am I bad? Did I say it right? Am I going to get whatever it is you wanted from that? You know, on one level, every time you open your mouth, you might want something. You know, for whatever reason. One of the wonderful things in this consciousness expansion is to really begin to understand when you're speaking, what is it you want? Every time you open your mouth, are you trying to manipulate something in your environment for whatever end? Or are you in that moment keeping the reminder on the back burner right here that everything that you are saying and doing and thinking is creating in some magic way this next cluster of consciousness that you're going to begin to identify with? All right. Now, those of you who have come to our workshops realize from the very beginning we began the very basic exercise of being seated in your body and expanding to the mountains and to the sky and past as far as you could go. Now, why? Because those of you that did that for lo these many years have begun to realize that you have the tremendous capacity of moving the center, the focus of your consciousness out of your limited self and allowing yourself to truly, truly identify with that mountain range. Not, oh, what a pretty mountain range. But you remember the exercise. You were to caress the mountain range itself. You were to feel the motion of the trees on the range. Remember? It's all there. You begin by being willing to abandon what you consider to be home base. Now, without wanting to upset any of you, consciousness has no home base. None. Consciousness is total. Consciousness is one thing. Consciousness is. And as you, as a part of consciousness, choose to focus here and then there and there, what you are doing is taking the focus of consciousness and placing it somewhere. And then from that perception, you begin to feel less of self. I would like to tell you what I think the greatest nightmare for a human being is. It is to identify with your limited self so greatly that you don't know how to get out. Do you understand? To identify with your thoughts, your emotions, your mistakes, your yearnings, your losses, your lacks, to your own judgments against yourself, which run riot all of the time in your awareness, and to not be able to get out. And so then in not being able to get out, you look around, you say, somebody pull me out. Somebody else pull me out. Well, it doesn't happen that way. And it is your wonderful knowing that you can, if we can go back to the image in the bottle now, if we could make it champagne and realize that the power of champagne, if shaken, if the bottle is shaken sufficiently with good fortune, you are going to pop the top. with good fortune, the top of that bottle is going to be blown off. So, and what is it? It isn't sitting silently so much as it, a tremendous amount of life. What we would call the joie de vivre, that sense of life that is in each one of you, that rambunctious knowing, good heavens, it's my life, it's my world, this is exciting, instead of, this is a punishment. I know my karma must be very, very bad. Look at my life, my karma. What's happening? Now, that's what you've been trained. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. That is not the truth of things. The truth of things is something quite different. Most of this world will rivet you on your past actions and tell you that it's those past actions that are going to determine your future. And if you believe that, then you believe that. But I would like to, at this moment, say yet again something that we have said again and again. That is a choice. There is another choice, which is to simply say, ah, my life has been interesting. All of those things that I have done and said and experienced have been interesting. Isn't that a fascinating section of consciousness that I have chosen to experience? And to begin to ask yourself, and this we go back to the original, how can you help yourself? To begin to take your life very seriously, not soberly and seriously like this, but from the point of excitement of what is the wonderful kinds of secrets embroiled in my life. To sit down day after day after day and examine your life as it has flowed and ask yourself from that clear, mature space of consciousness, all right, why did I create it this way? Why did I choose to create all of this situation? What is it that I was teaching myself? What is it that I was learning about life? What is it that I'm knowing here? And the moment that you realize that many of you have created lives according to stories told you about how dark and dour and so on, a part of you is going to begin to awaken that is going to say, I have decided to whatever degree I can, to begin to focus on building a thought form of power, wonder, and beauty, and peace, and excitement, and dynamic creation, whatever it might be, because I'm going to leave that behind. You do not have to worry about carrying this forever and ever, amen. You can, in this moment, make the decision that you are going to create your next home of consciousness. And every breath that you take and every word that you say and every thought that you think is going to either help you create that with greater surety or just make it a delayed action. If you want it badly enough, my friends, it will happen. Now, I did not say it would happen in this life. I mean this very, very soberly. It might not happen in this life. But many, many of you want it in this lifetime. You want it now, and the capability and the capacity is absolutely present. The choice is, will you please choose between thinking that your past is concrete and somehow you have to go in with dynamite and blow it up, you know, which is a very, you know, difficult thing to do. I mean, that's at $75 an hour with therapy, that's a long time. And a lot of money, it's a long process. Does it work? Yes, in some cases, absolutely it works. But instead of that, you know, there's this other way which stands up in the middle of the mess and says, I'm ready. All right, then somebody will say, well, what are you ready for? I hope. Some part of your awareness says, all right, that's fine, but what are you ready for? And then you begin the exciting job of defining for yourself what you mean by I am ready for something else. Most of you have read so much that you get confused because there's so much out there and it all comes from different parts of consciousness and represents different things. What I would ask is that there come into your deep knowing in the next few weeks and months a claiming that you have really read perhaps all that there is to read and will begin to settle down into those parts of what you have read and heard and experienced that you want to magnify. Those things that you want to make vaster, that you want to make greater, so that you have this sense, this beautiful, wonderful sense, that every moment you're working on your own behalf. The frustration of thinking that you can only work on your behalf for a half hour or an hour in the morning when you meditate. Some of you don't meditate at all. And on one level of your consciousness, I know this bothers you. Whether you can bring it into your thought form or not, I know it bothers, because you have been told if you don't meditate, you will not get to the goal. Right? In fact, has not this energy said to you? If you do not meditate, you will not reach the goal. All right, now, so let us expand into vast awareness of what we mean by meditation. Meditation, the reason we keep harping on it, is because it's a wonderful way to create something. Because as you sit in meditation, the first few moments are obviously just getting rid of whatever's happening. And finally, if you're really committed to sitting there, things settle down. And in the settling down, you could say that you create a space around you, an empty space. An empty space. And since everything abhors a vacuum, since you have an empty space, it is now yours. And in that moment, you can create anything you want to create. And that open knowing of your awareness. But if you sit down and are totally, consistently crammed with old, 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 and no space, it's much harder to do. Is it impossible to do it without meditation? Of course not. Is it more difficult? Yes. So, again, the choice is yours. As you begin to understand why you silence things down and begin to realize that you're not doing it to discover something so much as to create something, I don't mean an idea of a car. I suppose you could do it if you wanted to, you know, a new car, whatever it is. But in the vastest sense of things, to realize that in that space, you are allowing a creativity of deep consciousness to begin to fill it with something brand new. One of the statements you make a lot in your new world is, get out of my space. All right? It's like that. You're saying to a part of yourself, get out of my space. Just get out of my space. Now, when you say it to another human, you mean, get out of my space because I want to do something and you're keeping me from doing it. Isn't that right? All right, now, when you say it to yourself, you are saying to parts of yourself, get out of my space. I want something new. I want something exciting, new, that doesn't feel the same, that doesn't look the same, that doesn't experience within me the same. The excitement begins to grow. When you begin to sit down to meditate with excitement, now, isn't that a nice thought? Instead of, oh my God, I've got to meditate again today. I could be drinking my coffee and here I am. All right. If you can get an excitement going about why you're doing it and realize the magnificent opportunity of clearing your space, then it begins to move throughout all of your day. Because actually, many of you enjoy doing something all day long rather than just doing in the middle and in the night and so on. Well, if I might put another idea in your mind, how about both? You know, instead of suggesting just morning or night and noon, how about most of the time? How about most of the time understanding that as you have a thought, and let us say your thought is, I'm really upset. I'm really upset. You know, X did this and I'm here and I'm upset. Now, you realize since it's your space, you can go on and on and on. How long? You can go on 5 minutes, 5 years, who knows, lifetimes of this going on, of this anger. All right, that's, and then, are you clearing your space? No, but you're filling your space. And you're filling your space, and you're filling your space. When you begin to realize what we said so many years ago, that you extend vastly around you, and all of this magnificent creative something is here, that you then begin to realize that this is the medium of your creativity. This spatial sense around you. And this is why some of you love to go out where there's vast space, either to the sea or to the mountains, whatever, because that vast emptiness of space excites you. I mean, if it's empty, that means something can be created, something ever new, something different. So the aliveness comes as you do this. And so when you claim that every moment you're either recreating the same thing in your space, and if you enjoy it, and if it's what you like, then by all means. But if there's a sense that this is not exactly what you want, then the knowing in that moment, through just all of the simple exercises we've given you of breathing, breathing, you know it all, you know it's all there. Just the breathing, breathing, which moves you to your breath, which then just allows you, with all of your power, to make the statement within yourself, no. Enough. Something else. and you know what the feeling is of that something else, and you begin to fill your space with that something else. It's a very simple way to begin to take your life out of confusion and fear and chaos, and to begin to move it gently and sweetly into something else. Now, to those of you who feel that you needed to have some kind of a direct interrelationship with me, let me just say very clearly what I would suggest. That model tells you that your belief is that this awareness is outside of you. It is something that is not accessible to you without Mary Margaret. And that is a lie. Whatever you choose to call this energy, it is not attached to any person, any form, any idea. It is a part of consciousness. And as a part of consciousness, you know the rules. There are no separations. There are no boundaries for consciousness. Consciousness is one thing. Therefore, this consciousness that arises in this particular way through Mary Margaret, when it begins to arise in you, is going to have some feeling of similarity. After all, we are friends. So why not? But at the same time, you're going to begin to have it rising up in you in your own way. You're going to begin to experience parts of your consciousness that are beautifully, uniquely yours. That they're who you are, what your truth is. And as you begin to realize that this is nothing more than a part of the majestic wholeness of consciousness, you will begin to realize that if you are alive, and you all know you are, then all of this that you put outside of yourself is moving constantly in and around you, vastly out into the farthest regions of the heavens, and intimately within every cell of your body. When you begin to shift your point of view as to what this is, then you will begin to shift into knowing that it is yours to do, and that you can do it. And you would not be asked to do it if you could not. And this is not a teaching to scold. It's a teaching to encourage. So what should you do? So please, get yourself notebooks and begin to take your own life seriously. Begin to look at your life with seriousness, not like this, because many of you have good humor, but to begin to play with your life as if you were looking at it from the outside. Begin to, do you understand? Look at it from the outside. What if somebody else was looking at your life? Well, what patterns would they see? What kinds of things would they be aware of? What is the flow of it? And then primarily get in touch with what are your ideas about life? What kinds of ideas were you trained to believe about life? And when you begin to take your consciousness seriously, you begin to see, those of you who have had very difficult events happen to you, you will be able to see two things. One, what kinds of thoughts brought them about, which is one thing. And also to realize, and this is a moment of tremendous victory, when you stand up on your two legs and say, I was very smart to create that. Do you hear that? I was incredibly wise to have created that life. There was tremendous wisdom. There was tremendous wisdom. In your terms, if you like to use the words, from my high self or from the God self, whatever you want, you know, in beautiful concert and harmony with you in your present life, whatever it might be. But to keep working, my friends, till that moment comes when you see the patterns of your life. They are not hidden. You know, my friends, a lot of you are trying to figure out your future patterns when you haven't even bothered to figure out your past patterns. And when you begin to understand that not that you have to go into every event and write, you know, 85 tomes and, you know, like Anais Nin and send them out for, you know, for publication and so on. But just the very simple knowing that in a few weeks, indeed, of really serious introspection, you can begin to see the basic bold blueprint of your life, the kinds of ideas that formed it, the beliefs that had these events happen to you. You get a grip. I love the words you use. You get a grip. And that is it. You get a grip. You get a grip on what was almost out of your hands, something that just happened to you, that you had nothing to say about. And as you turn that sweet and gentle and hopefully humorous and loving compassion on all of that, the secrets begin to pop out. You begin to realize, if you selected this, why you selected it. Now, many of you don't believe you selected it, and you'll run right into that. I didn't select it. God did this, or my past did this, or my karma. Whatever it is, don't run. Just hold on to it. Just keep examining, looking for the patterns that consciousness that move through it. And as you begin to do this day after day, what you are doing is something very kind and gentle to yourself. You are beginning to calm down your past. You know, your past is rambunctious for many of you because, you know, there's all those shoulds have done's and then there's those should not have done's, you know. And they're all there and you think, well, I've forgotten about that should not have done. Oh, have you? You know, guilt, we've said it, guilt is the joy killer. And so there it is. You begin to settle down and here it all comes. All right, stay steady. Just allow yourself to realize you want to get a hold of the ideas, the beliefs that made this life look the way it did. And in that wholeness of consciousness, you're going to begin to appreciate it. It is not going to be something that was just tremendously terrifying, but something that has a melody to it. It's going to have a theme to it. It's going to have a stroke of sound and motion and light and power. It's your creation. You did it. You did it. You did it. Now, remember, please, this is a co-creation. Remember, years ago, a co-creation. The tiny little you that you identified with is not the you that created all this. There is something much more majestic, much more magnificent, much more whole that was a great part of this magnificent coming of your consciousness. And when you begin to stop scolding yourself for your creations or worrying about it or feeling sorry for yourself or whatever is your particular mode, everybody has one, when you stop doing that and begin to just say, all right, let us look at this as an interesting conglomerate of events. And you begin, do you understand, you take the judgment of it as being wrong, being nasty, being somehow whatever. And you begin to move with beauty and joy and delight into the knowing, ah, there was a wondrous something. Remember that story about the pony, the little boy who's shoveling the manure. And he says, with all this manure, there's got to be a pony here somewhere. Remember? All right, now, right there with that humor is where you can begin to look at your life, no matter how painful. You were not foolish to create it this way. You were not, you know, somewhere else and then somebody did it. Or you were not, you know, passed out and then you created it. You know, there was a total, alive, aware consciousness that co-created with something magnificent and for a magnificent moment, for a magnificent knowing. And there are no mistakes. When you begin to look at it from that point of view, then any problem, no matter what arises, you go back, I hope, to this day and remember. There was something majestically wondrous in this whole creation, no matter how painful. And if I will just sit quietly in the deepness of my being and look at it from a point of consciousness with deep, deep deliberation, wanting to see the patterns, wanting to hear the thoughts arise, wanting to hear the beliefs come at me from all directions. When I really am ready to hear it, then I will be able to hear it. And the moment that you'll be able to hear the song of the past, you'll be able to make a decision as to whether it's what you want to sing in the future. Do you understand? You stand as the pivot point. You don't have to wait till you die. You know, the stereotype is, well, this is the way it is, and hang on till you die. And when you die, somebody will come along and say, all right, this is what you should do next time. Well, that is not the modality that I'd like you to think about clearly. But to be able to realize that moment after moment, you stand there, you can either sing with the past, or you can begin in this new moment to create a new song, a new awareness, a new, whatever you want to call it, a vibration, a frequency, I can call it whatever you wish, and that it takes its own marvelous form. And that is your responsibility. Whatever the past. But until you do some gentle looking at your past, it is going to be fearful to you. And if you are in fear of your past, if you think that you have created against God, those of you who are into the Course in Miracles, remember one of the basic statements. One of the difficulties is that the human consciousness thinks that they have created against God. And with that kind of fear running you all the time, you're not going to relax. You're not going to be able to sit down and relax and say, no big deal. No big deal. We did what we did. Life's like that. Now I can make another choice. Now I can create something new. Now, until you have that kind of relaxation around your past, it's going to follow you. It's going to rise up and haunt you. And you don't have to work very hard at really releasing all of that pain and guilt around it. I will tell you something. Anything that you look upon for enough time will gently and sweetly reveal its true nature to you. For example, I would love to have a collection of people in a room who hated each other and set them all together, and the only rule is you do not say a word. You just sit there. And depending on how intense the hate, eventually there would be only one feeling. They would all settle down to the one basic feeling within all of consciousness. That basic conscious feeling, the feeling of the great, magnificent eye of awareness. It is there. And when all of the differences just settle down, what is left is that miraculous knowing. Now, the same thing in a group can be done by you, and this is why I ask you to do it. When you just sit with yourself, you allow all of that. You don't talk to yourself. You don't scold yourself. You know, you don't lecture yourself. You just let it settle. And as you begin to do this day after day, in whatever way you can, what begins to arise is that same level of consciousness that will always arise when any group, no matter who they are, gathers together in silence. For some, it happens quickly. For others, it takes longer. But the same thing that helps the group is applicable to you. Remember our meditation practices when we said, sit without thoughts of what should be, how it should be, how it should feel. This is God, this is not, this is this. Just settle down into the moment. Allow the magnificent now to just let this come up in you, and it will. And when it does, over your past, you will just allow it to go away. You will just feel your consciousness. You will feel the ride and the wonderful wonder of conscious awareness, pure conscious awareness, without name, without form. You'll begin to feel it. You will say to others that you feel enlightened. And the truth is, you will feel light, meaning no longer burdened. You will not be burdened. And what burdens you is the past. What burdens you is not this moment, but the past. And as you begin to understand that this gentle gazing upon and willingness to just look at your past becomes a way for you, then that which is really you arises. And when you feel it in you, the whole world could tell you that you were wrong, and you would simply smile. That is the whole point of any of our sharing, is that as many of you as willing will begin to come to that point, no matter what the past, no matter how sad, how dark, how in your words, and this is not my word, how sinful, whatever it might be, it's past. It is past. If you love each other, I ask you to quit reminding each other of the past. One of the exercises we try to do in workshops is people talk, but they're never allowed to talk about the past. There's not a lot said. (Laughter) Because it's always that, well, don't you remember? Well, you know, and there's always couched in, yes, but I can't explain the present until I talk about the past. So I have to tell you where I am in the past so that I can tell you where I am in the present. All right, now, those are all ideas. And I ask you, those of you who really are good friends to each other in this room and in the world, and on this tape, whatever, wherever you are, would you begin, if you can, to pay attention to your own line, which always hooks you back onto the past, in your speech, in your thoughts, in your ideas. And if you can just begin to catch yourself over and over again, and just quietly smile at yourself, don't please create now yet another problem. Oh my goodness, now I have this problem, I have to get rid of my past, and you know, oh my God, I can't meditate, and I can't get rid of my past, and I don't eat the right food, and all this is horrible. In that wonderful gentleness of the whole experience, of just relaxing into it, you're going to feel your whole body begin to let go. Many of you are carrying various physical problems because of the past. And as you begin to gaze at it with that soft gaze that I always call the gaze of the Buddha, who was sat and watched with the soft gaze, how many is it, 2,000 lives go past him with the soft gaze. I want you please to be a Buddha in your own right, in the same way, to simply have the soft gaze at your own past, allowing those things which need to arise up, catch your notice, then they go back. Allow yourself to just gaze at it, and you're going to begin to feel patterns, your patterns, the patterns of the life you've created, and deeper patterns, deep, deep patterns of consciousness that permeate every single event of consciousness. You will find your health improves. Perhaps you will not be so afraid. You will find that you are looking forward to creating ever anew. The reason so many of you are afraid to create, and that's why there's so little really creative artistic expression, is you're afraid to create. Why? You're afraid to create because you know you've created your past. You're terrified that if you're going to create in the future, it's going to look like that. And if it doesn't look like that, it might even look worse than that. You know, you never know. And so you bind yourself in all kinds of modes of creativity, and say, no, I'd rather just create a little bit where I can be certain. My friends, this planet was meant to explode in beauty. Explode in beauty of all kinds. Why is there not? That's because of the fear of creating. And when you smoothly drop into your knowing and your past part of your knowing, and you get to that point that says, ah, I feel it, and it feels fine, then you know that you have come to the moment that says, my past is behind me, I stand in the ever-dynamic creative moment of the now, and I'm ready. And that means you are ready to create whatever excitement bubbles in your consciousness. I would like to thank you all for coming. We'd like to do a meditation for those of you who wish to stay. And since we don't have to worry about the one-eyed video monster, we will be able to begin the meditation after those of you that need to go have gone. But wherever you go this day, I would like to thank you for one thing, for coming. Just being present in this room, this day. Your being here helps. And as you move out of this room, I ask you to remember why it helps. You are important. You are important. Without you, it will not be done. It will not. So, from the deepest part of the heart of God. Thank you. Thank you all. My friends, for those of you who would enjoy this once a day, any time of the day, if you would just simply seat yourself wherever is convenient, comfortably, and then with every breath that exits, every exit breath, just expand your awareness further and further and further out. Now, don't sit here in your body and think it out. Sit here in your body and feel it out. Feel it out. Feel yourself moving. Remember those mountains we talk about. Feel the energy moving until it caresses the mountains, and then past the mountains out into the sky, and past the sky into who knows what. Just keep moving. If you will just begin to do this, if you feel yourself in the midst of anger and fear and resentment and panic and whatever it is, stop everything. If you can, get outside, begin to expand. If you can't, just sit where you are and begin to expand. I promise you, when you come back from that expansion, there will be enough room in you to contain both whatever your dilemma was and you, and the peace that you're looking for, and that wondrous relaxation. Does everybody understand what we're looking for? If you will do this every day of your life, you will begin to be building one of the major building blocks of consciousness for your next occupation. I would ask you to build it as large and as vast and as magnificently alive as you possibly can, because you're going to live in it for a while. Do you know? You build your heaven today, as well as your hell. And since I'm not into building hells, let's build a heaven together.